a geek about something, and where we cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. Usually, we are broadcasting live from the Twin Cities Film Fest studio, but today, we are so excited to be on the road. Everybody make some noise here at Console Room 2020. I like it. Everybody, I am Ms. Shannon. We appreciate you joining us. It's nice to go and be out and about because sometimes in our Twin Cities Film Fest studios, it gets a little claustrophobic. It's nice to see some faces. Know that I'm not just talking to myself. If you are listening, I hope that we sound lovely in your ears. That's appropriate. If you want to turn your earbuds down, we won't get mad at you. So, as usual, my podcast life mate is the executive director of the Twin Cities Film Fest, Jayden Satia. He is out film festing this evening. So I have been honored here on the Be Our Geek Dais, a brand new voice to be our geek, but someone who I have known for a couple of years, and I'm going to back up and tell the story because I think it's going to be interesting to everybody, Mr. Jim Seuss. Everybody in the room, make some noise for Jim. Yay. Jim, I will let you introduce yourself because at first I want to give you a chance to give your autobiography before I then go in and ruin all of it with my version of your biography. So,
wow.
Okay.
Okay.
So you start, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm Jim Seuss. I've been living in Minnesota for the last 20 years, originally from Indiana. Always,
Some people in the room who are familiar with Jim were like, I didn't know that.
I would be, I lived just right down the street from Gary.
Yeah.
Would be considered region rat, as we called ourselves back then.
Okay.
And about 20 years ago, I moved up here.
Yeah.
I was going to go on my way to Seattle and... Wow, just kind of stopped.
The wagon train just stopped right here.
It just stopped right here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just, started working in IT. And then I started formulating, some of my hobbies, which have been reptiles. And I've always been into comics. There was even a few times where I've even approached trying to write for comics.
I hope that you eventually do that. We'll help you do that. And for anybody who is in the room, if you're listening, you heard somebody try to scurry in like a quiet church mouse. That was not going to work. Because my additional, if you have listened to Be Our Geek before, you know that quite often when my good friend Jayden Satia cannot make it, my replacement podcast life mate is my good friend T. Aaron Sisko, Mr. Taylor Sisko, who is late. Hello, Taylor. Welcome to the dais.
Hey, how's it going? I'm not late. I've been here the whole time. You just didn't see me. No. Yeah, I was running behind, but I'm here.
And I'm glad you're here, and you look wonderful as well. And I'm glad that you are here in time because we're getting to know Jim. And Jim, I know you from this, and so this is why I'm going to rewrite your biography poorly. Here's the thing, is that I met Jim in person last year at Console Room. If you guys remember last year at Console Room, that was the first year that we did our Be Our Geek broadcast from here. And I did also at that time, I was joined again by Taylor Sisko, who was fantastic. He is always fabulous. I'm glad that you're here, Taylor. I'll pick on you later. But last year, actually, before we got here, was my first time that I had met Mr. Jim Seuss in person. I met him actually at Crypticon. And anyone who knows Ms. Shannon knows I don't do horror, right? You know that, Taylor, right? I've told you that before.
Yes. Well, yeah. Not yet. You haven't found a horror movie like yet.
No, I don't like horror. I don't pay for fear. I just don't. I don't. That's not my fandom.
Wasn't that scary?
Yeah, they're scary enough. And it's not even that the horror, Jim and Taylor, it's not even that the horror in itself in the film is what causes the issue. It's that I am quite prolific in my imagination. And so any horror movie is just work parts for my brain to make things worse, and I already don't sleep. So that is why I don't do it. So I met Jim in person after an interesting conversation. So Jim and I have some mutual friends. And I think I told the story to you, Taylor, and then it's a little back into the why I lurk your social media for you and Jim, is because the first time I saw Jim's picture, it was on a dating site. And I saw him on a dating site, and in one of his pictures, he is photoed with a friend of mine. Right, and so I didn't tell you that, Taylor.
Your photo on a dating site was with someone else? Isn't that against?
I think what? So. Okay, good. This is going to start a really good conversation, because I've never really brought it up to Jim, but I do want to help him edit his dating site. Because as a woman, I think that this is great, because we have a variety of people who are in the audience, so maybe we can help. I don't know. It probably worked out for you, Jim, so don't let me fact check it.
No, it's Bumble.
Okay. So the first time I saw him, he's out there. He's in this picture, and I have always had an issue when I see a guy with photos of other women. Right. Okay. Somebody just raised their hand. And so I'm like, okay, if you're crushing it and knowing other women, why are you on this site? You know, it's different if they say, hey, I'm in a poly relationship, whatever. We're not talking about that. We're talking about when they're like, I would like to be in a regular relationship or go on a regular date, and I see him with somebody else. I'm like, well, you don't need me. You got her. I happen to know the her. I know her husband as well. I know it's not like that. So, so I saw him, and I immediately text her, and I'm like, yo. I'm like, who's this guy in this picture with you? Because she is quite the cheery person. So she's smiling big. And Jim has a tendency to look kind of stoic, it turns out, if you look through his whole profile. And she's like, oh, that's the snake guy.
that clears things up.
Exactly. And I was like, that is not enough information. And then she explained, and now if you go by his autobiography about how he is in the reptiles and what he's done, and I think most of the people who are in the room who are familiar with him from cons and what he did, like a lot of the questions before we started today's episode were about, were you going to be showcasing your reptiles here? They are very familiar with that, and you are quite expert in that field, which would have been fantastic if you had photos of you and them. You did not have photos of the reptiles. You had photos of this lady friend.
True. I've had, you know, pictures of my reptiles.
Yes.
On some of those, and I've gotten like, ew.
Okay, I get that. A lot of people are fearful of reptiles, and in particular, snakes. Okay, we had a raised hand who was fearful of that. I am not. Here's the reason why I think that it's interesting. And Jim, I'm not going to completely pick on you for this whole thing, because and Taylor gets a pass because he is successfully relationshiped. Of the three of us, he does not have to worry about the scenario. But I feel like, how long have you been married, Taylor?
Oh, man, you're going to get me in trouble.
Oh, you don't know? Okay. Approximate.
12 years.
12-ish years. Okay, 12-ish years.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Years, that's close enough. That's good. She won't get mad. She's cool. So I do feel like, Jim, that maybe you should ask your successfully relationship friend, Taylor, to like show him your profile.
Yes, Jim, show me your profile. Show it to me.
Because I do lurk both of the, now that I'm like literally friends with Jim, we're social media friends, and I had been friends with Taylor first. So I've lurked, I know they hang out and they go to movies together and all this other kind of stuff. So I've lurked their social media. So I just kind of feel like Taylor might be that guy for you, Jim, that he can help you. Don't make it worse.
I don't know if that's possible. No. Oh, no, I've definitely tried to help Jim in something, but it seems like he doesn't need help, because the first time Jim and I really hung out was at a con,
mm-hmm.
and the first time we hung out, that was when we met. We met at mm-hmm. Wizard World.
Mm-hmm.
But the first time we really hung out, I think, was probably Convergence mm-hmm. a few years back.
I think so, but we kept on bumping each other maybe at the smaller, you know, the spring/fall
con. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But the original nickname that I had for Jim was the mayor.
Ooh.
Because no matter where we went at Convergence, especially, like there's like the outside areas, the different dealer rooms, people would always come by. And a lot of these people just happened to present as very interested women.
And Jim.
It's all Jim. Like a literal gaggle. I think that's the scientific number. What do you call a group of women? A murder. A murder of
women. A murder of women would follow around Jim.
That's the picture.
Well done. See, that's the picture. So everybody who's listening, currently showing the picture. And what response do you... See, Jim...
Don't
okay. No, that's the... Okay, Taylor, am I wrong? Okay,
no, you're
see,
not wrong.
Jim, I'm just saying... And I didn't know Jim like that, so I can tell him, hey, my man, you should, like, update those photos.
But I'm also the wrong person, because I think that online dating, you might lose some fans. Actually, they'll all hate me. I think online dating is kind of stupid. It's not dating, it's shopping.
Shopping. Oh, says the married, the successfully relationship
person.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Okay, and we could talk about this, because that's just one of the things that we talk about in general on things like on BR Geek, because we talk about it. Like, there are some specific, like, geek dating sites that I haven't dabbled in geek-specific dating sites because I'm already on the big dating sites anyway, so I don't feel the need. I feel like any of us, I mean, you guys tell me in the room, if you were looking to be in a relationship, do you feel the need to be on a specific geek-related one, or are you cool with just the random ones that you would normally do on online dating and presume that you'd find a commonality in general? What do you guys think?
I say random, but then I'm also on, like, the Twin Cities Singles Geek.
Okay, so someone told us that they are on a combination of both, so they're on the Twin Cities Singles Geek on Facebook, but also likes the random ones. And that's kind of what I felt like, because the reason why I was on the major ones, and the ones that we're talking about are the Bumbles and the Tinders of the world. The reason that I was on that is because I kind of felt like I already was in this community and in a lot of my community, so I wanted to kind of try and branch out and see if I knew any new people. And it worked out. I hadn't met Jim in person, and I saw his profile, and then I didn't swipe. Because I'm rude. So rude. I'm rude. It's not you, Jim.
I'm going to cry.
I'm rude. I'm rude. But it was also, like, extra, like, odd because I knew somebody that was in your picture. But I do think it's interesting when we're trying to navigate the geek world and you're dating. And I think one of the things that you said was interesting, Jim, was you were talking about how when people see your reptiles, they say, ew. But I think it's interesting because one of the things that I had a friend of mine who had looked through my profile and I had changed it, is he told me that I don't, quote-unquote, present geek enough. Yeah, and so when people meet me and then they go, I'm into all this stuff and I'm this and the sort, then I end up running them off retroactively because they don't get me. When if I led with that more, then it would make it easier. So I went back through my profile, and now there's like, here's a picture of me, a guy dressed like Groot, you know, kind of thing. So I'm like, you know, or a t-shirt or something. Like, I went back in and led with some of those things. What's the matter, Taylor?
That's not dating. That's shopping.
But it is shopping. That's how you learn to date.
You had a product that wasn't moving fast enough off the shelf, so to speak, and so you reconfigured your advertising campaign. Put some of the fancy beats in the front. The money beats,
yes,
as Dwight Schrute would say.
Right, I did.
Right, but like.
But if I don't do that, I'll say, Taylor, what is your suggestion? If you say that's not dating, how do you get of dating if you don't advertise first?
Stuff like this.
Yeah.
Meet space.
Meet people.
But.
Meet space.
I tried that. I think here's my problem with just meeting people is I do think that sometimes, especially in the world that we live in now, it's hard to know people's intentions when if you find somebody that's online, you know what their intention is. So you know that they want to meet other people. We're getting mixed reactions from the audience because I feel like what I was trying to do, and Jim, what do you think? Like, why did you decide to do the online dating stuff?
Just to give it a try.
Yeah, okay, and you know, that's fair. Just, I think a lot of people say that.
Yeah, you know, just to reach out and see, you know, just to see what's out there.
Right.
And so far, I haven't found, you know, people out there.
Fair enough.
What I find very disturbing is you see a picture of a woman, or let's say, you know, there's a picture of a person, and she's got like four of her friends.
Yeah.
And throughout the entire run of pictures, and you're like, which one is this?
That's fair. Okay. That's it. No, that's fair. No, you're allowed. And somebody else was as equally as upset about that. I think that is fair as well. So I think that there's stuff to be learned on both sides. Here, do you want to look at mine, Taylor?
Another thing that I find creepy, though, is...
No. So you tap this way.
Are parents putting pictures of their kids?
I concur. I think I call that kid bait.
Well,
instead of clickbait, it's kid bait.
Well,
I don't think they should put
that, though. You don't know what...
I think it's creepy as well.
You don't know what the hype of people are out there.
Yeah. So. I don't want that either. And what I do is I, in my profile, mention that I have a kid, but I don't have pictures of him either.
Yeah. Make mention
of
the kid.
So Taylor, I handed him my phone, so he's currently looking at my Bumble profile. And you didn't yell like you did when you looked at Jim's. So I think that is at least partially a good sign that you didn't shout and then throw the phone down on the table.
No,
what do you think?
Is a very nice profile. But the thing is, it's sort of like, I don't know, it's like Amazon. Like, if someone's like, man, I found this cute pair of shoes, I'm like, where? And they're like, Amazon. I was like, that's not good. It's cool. But it's sort of like online.
I shop at Amazon, so clearly I'm too basic for Mr. Cisco.
No, not basic. So there's no challenge. Like, here, try
challenge?
Am I talking about shoes or a woman? Jim. Like, let me see. Here you go.
I'm listening.
Am I talking about shoes or a woman? Okay. Well, those are nice. That's new. Black ones? I don't know you like black ones, Jim. I mean, I've seen you with black ones before. I'm just saying, usually it's not. I just hope you find the right fit. See?
But that's how I think relationships are at the beginning. I think it is trying on the right fit. And so I think, you know, it is difficult until you get to know them more as a human being. And how else are you going to know more human beings if you don't dip into a different pool and try it?
Right.
Yeah.
See, I would have led with the one where you got
Which one should I have led with?
The sexy one with the Captain Marvel screen. It's clear. You got everything kind of
I can put
there,
that one first.
But like not like there.
Okay, I can do that. I'll push that one forward.
Oh, you're old like me.
I told you. He said I'm old. You knew that. You didn't know we're the same age?
No.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
You're a little, you have been here longer than I have.
Okay.
But not.
But we are adjacent.
Longer. Right.
We are
right.
Age adjacent. That's fair. That's fine. Which I think is also the reason why I think once you get to a certain age, you're like, we'll give it a shot. I think, you know, the kids these days, part of it, are super cool with the being on the dating apps. And then I think once we get to our age as well, you kind of get to that, where after a while, you're just like, I remember that in-between age, because I'm at that in-between age where I remember, like, going out to the club or trying to meet people at a bar or going to meet up. And that was exhausting, too. And then the other thing that the reason why I don't like that now, and I'll tell, and you guys tell me what you think, is I remember like they'd go, well, a girlfriend was like, hey, we're going to do it the old fashioned way. We're just going to meet people out when we go to the bar. And I'm like, I vote no confidence on this whole process. And I said no, because I'm like, the worrisome part of deciding which person you're going to go talk to and then see if they're actually available and what, that seems like it's a lot more cumbersome than at least knowing maybe they want to talk to you because you found them in an app. And the other thing that I found bothersome about it is I did meet somebody just randomly out in life. And now, and I met him at a particular location at a place that I used to hang out all the time. And it didn't work out for multiple reasons. They were crazy. Now my friends don't want to go back there because they're worried that we're going to run into them and it's going to be all awkward. And I'm like, I don't care. He can leave, you know, kind of thing. But my friends don't like it. So now we've tainted one of our favorite spots.
Is it
because we met him.
What kind of spot? Is it a bar? Is it a restaurant?
A bar slash restaurant that we used to go and day drink at.
Oh, we got to search the up and tell them we got to fall in line. Bend the knee. This is Shannon's house.
Oh, I'm fine with that. My friends are the ones. They're like, well, maybe. I'm like, I don't care. I super don't care. I own this place.
Oh, no, I mean, to your friends. You tell your friends, like, look, you guys are worried about being awkward, but it's just time to search the up.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't care.
I'm the queen of the seven
I'm perfectly
kingdoms.
Happy to ignore him or tell him to go.
At least you're not like my friend Amy, who has gone and seen an ex at a bar and going, no, this is my bar. My bar. And she's shouting this. Yes.
Did it work?
Oh, she was so drunk.
But did it work? Did it work?
Yep.
Exactly. If
and
he
this
left,
was the first
leave.
Time me hanging out with her. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, this woman
hey man,
is a little.
Be yourself. That's what I'm like. You have to be yourself.
Cersei up.
But I do think it's interesting. I do think that, you know, when we're talking about relationships in the geek community. It is interesting. Like, I had a friend of mine who just dabbles. She dabbles. And one of the things that she was concerned about is because she's not a full-on geek. Like, I think that we are all in this room and a lot of people that listen to this podcast. So if you're listening, you might be more of what we would consider that card-carrying, like, geek. Like, you lead with geek. And so my friend was worried because she wanted to admit to me that she did not like Star Wars. I know, everybody gasped. But I asked her why. I said, is it that you just didn't like The Rise of Skywalker? Or are you just not into Star Wars? And she had a reason why she just wasn't into Star Wars. And I asked her why it really bothered her, because she's not the only person who doesn't like Star Wars. And her reasoning for it is she's like, well, I might meet a guy, and guys usually like things like Star Wars, and he's going to judge me and be mad at me because I don't like Star Wars. And that's what I said. Somebody else said that he's not worth it. I said, first of all, He's not worth it. Second of all, from my experience, most guy geeks are quite accustomed to people not liking things they like. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, if you're into this stuff, there's a lot of things that I'm into that I have friends that are super not into the thing. And so I think that we kind of get used to that. And you go, okay, are you aggressively not into it? Like mad at me that I like it? Oh, if you're not, then I'm cool.
Why? It seems like there's an opportunity to spin it. Because mm-hmm. if you met someone, like say your friend meets a fella who is really, really into Star Wars, instead of her reaction being like, oh, I don't like Star Wars, but he's really cute, she'd be like, you know what? Like, I'm kind of familiar with it, but like, what do you love about it?
You would hope and, she would do
right,
that, but that is asking her to do a lot.
But how I kind of look at it too, though, is it's my thing.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you don't like it, that's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You know, but if I'm going to go out with my friends, Taylor and I, every Sunday, we see a movie.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it's like.
There's so many options. So much opportunity for Mayor Jim to seal that deal. Oh, that sounds so sleazy.
We're not going there.
So, okay. So let's look
not
at this
with
now.
Me, I guess.
Because now I'm curious. Now I'm curious. Like, so Mayor Jim is like, is Taylor just your wingman where he sets him up and you knock him down? Is that what you guys do?
I am a fantastically horrible wingman. Because I will give excellent advice and terrible advice
at the same time.
Simultaneously. But and no, I'm generally encouraging.
You should talk to her. Tell her she's what?
Yes.
Is that what you do?
That's
okay. Okay.
Because I'm all about the honest approach. That's how I found, like, my person. I was just like, hey. Because I've been a geek forever.
Yeah.
And still am. On mm-hmm. the always on the outside of whatever inside is, even when the inside is outside. So I never learned that you're supposed to play the game or you're supposed to, like, be cool and have all these, like, lines. So I, like, even in middle school, like, oh, I like you. And they're like, ew, that's weird. You don't make me freak. And other names that are not podcast appropriate. And then high school, same thing. It's like, oh, like, we've been hanging out. I like you. We should hang out, like, with just us. Like, no, ew, get away from me, freak, and other names that are not. Same thing with college. It's like, hey, I like you. Like, oh, freak, and other names. It's like, it was better. But I'm also kind of dumb as a geek, so I just keep trying because that's all I got. I don't think I could be cool if I wanted to, so I don't try. So I just tell Jimmy to do the same thing. Like, hey, Mary Jim, like, you think she's cute?
Oh.
Yeah, like, tell her.
I'm actually pretty upfront, though, when I find somebody interesting.
Okay.
It's like, hey, you know, let's do coffee. Let's go out. But it's just, how do I put it? Taylor's advice. he does this. If you've ever seen Letterkenny and you know Gail. He does this dance. And if you haven't seen Letterkenny, watch it.
Oh, yes. You guys are Letterkenny evangelists. I know that kind of thing. So, I mean, and I think that's an interesting pivot. When you, like, is there a particular thing, like, I know you guys like Letterkenny. Is there anything else that right now you're like, it would be, like, I was talking to a guy friend of mine, and he was talking about how, he's always had, the way he put it, I've always had a secret desire to have a woman that would sit around and watch Doctor Who with me. And I was like, have you tried? Because that doesn't seem like that hard of a one. Like, I feel like there's a lot of fandoms that are a lot more difficult to find a woman that would be into it. And I know he grew up in Minot, so that was probably. But he lives in California now. I'm like, you're in California. That's not that hard. Is there anything that you're like, I know you know, Jim, you mentioned, okay, they, you know, they see the reptiles and they say, ew. But a lot of the other things that you're into, it probably isn't as difficult.
Oh, yeah. It's like with Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. You know, I've dated quite a few women who've never, what's Doctor Who? So I'm like, all right, let me show you these two episodes. And they fall
Which
in
ones?
Love.
Which ones?
One is A Christmas Carol.
Okay.
Because it's very magical, very.
I like it. He got to use the word magical. It's very magical.
Well, it's a very magical and very, a fairy tale like story. And the next one, and it gets, you know, and they're like, oh my God, they start to cry, is the Vincent Van Gogh episode.
Oh, okay. Well done. Well played.
You know, those are the two episodes that will get.
Taylor just said, what?
You're
what?
A monster. You can't, like, meet someone, like, so you want me to introduce you? Like, yeah, I can't wait. This is kind of cool. Like, I met this guy, and he's kind of cute, and he said he's going to show me this Doctor Who show. And the first one was kind of cool. It was a Holly movie, which is weird because it's, like, February, but all right. And then he put this other one. It was so sad about that deaf guy who, like, painted stuff. And they took him to the future to show him that he was awesome, and he still killed himself. And then the guy tried to make a move on me. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I need to go home to my kitten.
I mean, I kind of see it from both things. It's like you're a very emotional monster, is what it is. I like you, but I think some women like you. You show your, you know, you have a soft side that you're willing to like put your emotions out. What do you mean? What I think? Like Jim's like, I do not have a soft side. How dare you?
No. Taylor,
you show them. Don't blink.
No, you don't show them. Don't blink. So it's now like, they're frightened and they can't walk out to their car.
And then after Don't Blink.
We're not trying to get them into the fandom. You're trying to convince them that you're a sensitive, caring individual.
Don't Blink.
No, not Don't Blink. Don't Blink is good if you just want them to be a fan.
The girl in the fireplace.
Okay, I would do that. We had another fantasy. The girl in the fireplace.
You don't want the guy on. You don't
see, Jim, you need a wing woman instead of a wing man. That's what we've learned. It's like maybe like kind of thing. I think either like other even gentlemen in the audience are now pointing at that. So maybe you need a wing woman.
And get off the internet.
No, you can't get off the internet. He's wrong on that,
this
Jim.
Is where
I think
real
the internet
are.
Is fine.
Only one of us is married.
Yeah, but you did that before. That was when the internet
that
moved
was
slow.
Cold.
Like, what? You married her when the internet moved slow and it was dial-up.
That was, like, the high point. That's when we had the Match.com commercials. They were, like, the...
We still have Match.com.
The hookup commercials were all over TV. Because they're not dating sites, let's be real. Like, Tinder and Grindr.
Yes, they are. No, Tinder and
you're
all
not,
those
like,
ones.
Making
no,
a decision based on, like, the 40 seconds it takes to swipe
some
left or right.
Some people are. That is incorrect. Like, I am one of those people, I think, that you have... A lot of these have transitioned. There's people that are on these the apps that gamify dating. Yes, they are. Some of the people aren't on the apps because they're just looking for hookups. But I think a lot of people are not. It's just this was one that was efficient to sign up for, and you want ones that have a lot of people on them and that are popular. And so that was why, for me, like I started on Bumble, and I'm like, well, I'm going to give Tinder a shot as well, you know, for me. Because I was like, you know, and especially I think if you are medium social in your behavior. Let's say you leave the house. If you leave the house on a semi-regular basis, you are prone to running into the same 500 people that leave the house on a semi-regular basis because we work in patterns, right? So you might have explored all of the 500 people that hang out in the places you go. And then if you're online, then I'm like, oh, maybe I'll meet somebody that goes in a different place.
Right.
Right. Yes. If you don't go out, then it makes sense even because you want to find somebody that goes, we can be like-minded and are not wanting to go out and find them online and then never...
Friends are all taken.
Friends are all taken.
Let's go get, you know, see what they can do for that. I don't do that. I didn't even go out when I was single.
People said they didn't even go out when they were single. Here's the thing. I go out... I almost go out too much. I feel like I go out to the point that going out is my job. And so nobody who was interested in being in a relationship would randomly walk up to me and go, hey, I think you're cute, because they know that I'm out as my job. So, I mean, and if you're that bold, you're probably a little weird, you know, kind of thing. Because they're like, hey, I saw her telling jokes and I went up. That normal people wouldn't do that. You know, they wouldn't presume. Taylor's like, Taylor, okay.
Oh, yeah.
When you first met your wife, before your wife was your wife, okay. What was she doing at the time that you asked her out?
She was
older. How long did you know her, first of all, before you asked her out?
Before I had known her for, like, a couple hours. We were at a party.
I choked on my beverage. Okay.
But that's the area.
No, that makes sense. No, that's fine. You would go to parties to meet people.
Right.
That's not
and that
hot.
That was back in that day. You dated people to get to know them. There was none of this whole like, well, I don't know this person. It's like, oh, I think they're cool. I want to get to know them better. We should go have coffee. We should
and
go have dinner.
Right.
That's how that's we fine. Used to do stuff. There was never like, well, we've been texting back and forth for a couple of weeks. Maybe we'll meet up. It was like, that was crazy.
Fair enough.
It was
no, fair enough.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. No.
But we met at a party. She was going to be set up with another friend, and there's, like, silly nerdy guy code. It's like, well, if my friend, even if he's not interested, because that was, like, the prearranged whatever silliness, it was like my job as another buddy was just to back off.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
no,
okay.
That's fair. Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to set up Tommy with, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I'm going to go, and my friends also have this scientifically based rule that if you open a bottle of whiskey, you have to complete it because it goes bad.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, some people want to be your friends now. I feel like you and your whiskey mentality is why I made all my bad life choices.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, between the whiskey and the tequila, that's why I have an ex-husband. He wouldn't have been my husband if it hadn't been for the tequila, and then, you know, I forgot about him thanks to the whiskey. Okay, so how large of a bottle do you guys have to complete before you actually go and talk to a lady?
Well, it was about respect, and then it became clear that she was not interested in my friend Thomas.
Okay.
And so then the whiskey started talking, and the whiskey is always very wise at first. It was like, hey, man,
Taylor, go talk to her.
Exactly.
Taylor, yeah. Oh, Taylor, she's really cute.
And my recollection.
I have needs, Taylor.
I walked over very politely, and I said, hello. We didn't get a chance to speak tonight, but before you left, I wanted to make sure that you knew that I was interested in you, and I would love to have your number to talk to you sometime.
Okay.
I'm not sure that's what happened, because my wife and everyone else disagrees with my recollection.
But did it ever work with your mother?
Excuse me?
I do think it's interesting that at least Taylor will admit that in his head he has retconned it to smooth. There's a difference. Because anybody who knows Taylor has a couple of persona. His persona. He just did his, like, yeah, brush the shoulders off move. So I think that in Taylor's recollection, the person who spoke, who did actually end up eventually being successfully relationship with this woman, was Trey Aaron, his persona that is the lead of a band. Like, so Trey Aaron said that.
Trey's dope. Trey's my guy.
Trey said that. Taylor said, I think you're cute. Can I get your number?
Yeah. It was basically. All right. And Cara, she was like, I think, whatever. And she gave her number. But then I was smart enough to have nice enough friends that knew our rule of whiskey. And the next morning, we're like, hey, I called them. We had some fun last night. And I was like, cool. All right. And then we just happened to bump into each other about a week later.
Yep.
At a coffee shop that we all frequented because that's back what you did in those days. The mid-aughts.
Yep.
And
fair enough.
She was on a date with someone else.
Wow.
But she came over to me angry because I hadn't called. And because I was put on the spot. Because she's like, why didn't you call me? I was like, I thought you'd be mad. I wouldn't be mad. I thought we were going to go out. I was like, cool. Well, my friend's playing a show. We can get some dinner and go see a concert.
Now I'm here with this dude. Said, and this dude is whack. And it's your fault.
That's kind of
exactly, yeah. I wouldn't be with this whack dude if you'd called me. Totally hear her side of the story.
Also. But let's point something out. This was a time before texting even came around.
No, we texted. We're talking 2006.
This was 2006?
2006. We had a white guy in the White House the first time. We hadn't broken the chain yet.
You could text, but they cost 10 cents
a piece. Yeah.
Did you have expensive text messages?
It was the good old days.
Yeah, I remember, it's so funny because I've had, anybody who has my phone number, I remember this. I'm like, there are certain, things that you could do to build in hoops for people. And so I remember when I first moved back to Minnesota after living in Texas, I kept my Texas phone number. And anybody that would be like, oh, I got to call you long distance, I'm like, you were too broke to date me. I'm like, okay, you have a terrible cell phone plan. So I am glad that you were successfully relationship. And I think here would be a good experiment that I'd be willing to do with you, Jim, and I think it'd be interesting. Like, I would be curious for us both to be, like, Taylor, like, tapped out, like, I don't know if I'm on board with this, but that's okay. Yeah.
I think
that we could help each other redo our profiles. I think that would be fun. Two, I am kind of curious how the geek specific dating sites work. So I think, I mean, even if it's one of the pay sites, I think there's a pay site, I'll front you the money because I want to see how it works and see if it works better for you. For each of us.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. Like, I know there's one called, like, Soul Geek. There's another one, like, out there kind of thing. So I think we'll do a little research, and we'll do it. Taylor, you can look at our profiles, but I don't think you get the final say.
But don't you need a control group, right? Since you're offering to foot the bill, there's this website called Best Buy for tech geeks.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'll tell you how much the membership fee is, and then every month you can just pay.
No.
And then...
No. No.
Or you should let me do the correspondence for both of
you. No, absolutely no. No. Can Trey Aaron do it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I'll back to you in a second. But I want to make sure, because first of all, I know that Trey Aaron, a Taylor Sisko, has a brand new project that is not Trey Aaron related. But we're going to do some other fun things this evening, like following this particular broadcast. I know that Taylor, who is the Renaissance man of Console Room, he's going to be doing his TC Trek Trivia, your Wibbly. Yep. Yeah, is it we're doing that or Wibbly Wobbly?
It's a Wibbly Wobbly Wednesday special. Console Room edition.
Okay, wonderful.
So it's like a game show. Yeah.
So you'll be able to do that, and then remind everybody they can see you at the Driftwood Char Bar.
Yes,
is that right?
For the regularly scheduled Wibbly Wobbly Wednesday, it is every fourth Wednesday at the Driftwood Char Bar in South Minneapolis.
Is your band, for anybody who is new to our show or new to the room and not familiar with his band, Trey Aaron. Trey Aaron is fantastic, and I don't like to. I enjoy this. Taylor does not enjoy this. The easiest way to sum up his band is if you are a fan of Hootie and the Blowfish, that is what he does, but in a very geek-specific way, is what I feel like. Hey, they're very popular, and I loved Hootie. But Taylor hates that. Taylor, stop being mad. That's like me being mad when people compare me to Whoopi Goldberg. You need to stop that.
Oh, I see it now.
See? If people compare, like, see? Right, exactly. Sometimes you have to take what you can get. So do you have any band-related activities that are going on, Taylor?
We're recording right now,
oh,
actually.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, we have the initial album is available on, like, Amazon and a couple of local record stores and things like that. And all the digital music for download is free on our website, but... yeah, we're recording. I like Hootie is cool. I have nothing against Darius Rucker. I like Darius's country career. I feel like because the band, there's 13 of us. I feel like we're more like the Doobie Brothers.
Okay,
like
all
we're
right,
a
bye.
Massive band, and we're country adjacent. I always tell people because they're like, that's not country. It's like, well, it's country adjacent.
But it is fantastic that you do that. Back to you being a Renaissance man. And we know that Taylor has a number of books out as T. Aaron Sisko as well. But you have a new project that was just completed and released, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a lot. It's a nice diversion from what you've done before. And so the new book is what?
It's Black Nerd Blue Box. And it's the...
Wait, you need to say that more proudly.
Black Nerd Blue Box.
Thank you.
The Wibbly Wobbly Memoirs of a Lonely Whovian.
Wonderful. And so instead of writing about other characters, you're now writing about yourself. And so what made you decide to do this?
Well, the initial spark was a conversation with some of the ConCom here at Council Room, actually.
Wonderful.
That we were looking for some guests, and they said, well, it's a shame. It was an offhand remark, like, it's a shame we don't write any Doctor Who content. I was like, well, I love Doctor Who. I could totally write. It's like, I don't have a license. I don't have the permissions from, like, the BBC and the other folks. But I was like, but I've been a Whovian my whole life. And they're like, well, if you write a book about you being a nerdy Whovian, like, we can talk. And I said, challenge accepted.
Well done. Yeah.
And it's horrifying because everything else is fiction. Like, my previous six books are all fiction. Mm-hmm. So if someone's like, yeah, I read Big Ass Aliens. I read Teleportality. It wasn't for me. I didn't like it. That doesn't do anything to me. Like, cool, it wasn't for you. You don't like the characters. Maybe you don't like the pacing or the prose. If someone reads Black Nerd Blue Box and says, yeah, I read your memoir, it kind of sucks.
Oh, yeah, what you're it's saying exposing. Is like, okay.
You suck. That's...
But I think
scary.
that's I mean, it's exciting that you decided to do a new adventure, and that's... And for you to put yourself out there, I understand that you're saying that this was... A different one, but did you enjoy the process? Like, how long did it take you to do this book versus your other ventures?
Oh. the hardest part was figuring out how to frame it. So
okay.
I took it almost like music, where mm-hmm. I looked at what my influences are. So in musically, I'd say, oh, I love Charles Mingus. So let me look at like some Mingus-esque type approaches to playing bass.
Okay.
So this is like, speaking of Charles Mingus, he wrote a fantastic autobiography called Beneath the Underdog, where it's written in the third person as his psyche from the contemporary era, as he's writing it, is talking to him as a child and as a young man and sort of narrating, but also like intervening. And it's this sort of like very, it was very cool, for lack of a better term. It was super groovy the way that he just kind of like, instead of just saying like, I was born here and I did this and I did this, he was going back and saying, and this is what it felt like. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. So I alternate in Black Nerd Blue Box between stories of being a black nerd and stories of being obsessed with the blue box, and
that's
the stories they mix together. And then every other chapter is sort of these, I call them one-sided dialogues, mm-hmm. which explains the process of why I picked that story, but it's almost literally like a transcript of what was going on in my head
yes.
as I was trying to compile these like recollections and have them make sense. It's like, oh, like we shouldn't talk about something so down, because one of the biggest things about Doctor Who was that my mom is a 4-time cancer survivor. But the first time was, I mean, they're all serious, but the first time I was very, very young.
Right.
And they were telling her that, you know, she should start making arrangements and to handle her affairs.
Right.
And I had noticed that my dad seemed pretty mellow. Because I was very young, my sister was younger than I am, and people give us those platitudes like, oh, it's going to be okay, or like, you know, just look on the bright side,
right.
Things are better, which even as an adult now, it's just kind of like, that doesn't work. It's
exactly.
Better to say nothing. Right. But I noticed my dad was pretty stoic, and I finally asked him, and all of my like 6-7-year-old must was like, hey, like, mom's sick, how come you're not sad? And he's like, well, no, like, I am sad, but there are things that we have to do and things that we get to do. So let's do them all. And that was, like, so cool, and it imprinted on me. And so I talk about what that meant and why that latched on. He was also a super nerd. Oh, I have pictures. I can share these to the audience.
Yes.
I haven't done a reading at Council Room, but my readings usually have a slideshow presentation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That go with them, where I talk about, like, oh, like, this is this excerpt. I had my sister, who is in the same town as my folks, send pictures, because I reference in the book how my dad used to videotape.
And what
episodes.
Town is that? Where are they,
my parents retired to Oak Park, Illinois.
Okay.
The birthplace of Dan Castellaneta.
Oh.
And Ernest Hemingway lived there for a bit. He did some stuff. But the voice of Homer Simpson was
lives adjacent to your parents.
When my parents were dating back in the 70s.
That's an excellent photo.
They were
so
both
everybody
Whovians,
can see that.
And my mom knit my dad like a Tom Baker scarf.
Oh, that is wonderful.
So,
and
like,
the crowd goes, oh.
And my dad still has it, so I had my sister take a picture of my folks.
Oh, that is fantastic.
So I had no choice. I was going to be a Whovian at some point. But my dad used to videotape the episodes, and then I came across an episode, and I became obsessed with it. And I was like, this is what's going to make me cool, because I'm pretty sure the other kids at school haven't seen this. So I made my own
costume. I like it when we're young, we think, this will make me cool. And you're like, this is the opposite of what made me cool. And then you get old enough, you're like, cool is overrated anyway. No, that's exciting. And so tell everybody how they can get your book. The new ones and the old ones.
Oh, so actually I have everything here at Council Room, so there's one more day left to go.
Mm-hmm.
But if you miss me tomorrow in the Artist Alley area, Artist Alley, not Dealer's Room, Artist Alley, then everything's available. Just check out BLKINTL.com. That's Black Intellectual, missing most of the vowels, BLKINTL.com. And that has links to all the books from various locations, online and off.
Wonderful. All right, I'm excited for that. And Jim, what we'll do is that we'll, as you are doing shows, if you decide that you are going to stock back up on your reptilian type adventures, we'll make sure that we'll post all that information as well, because I'm sure that people want to follow you.
Oh, so, no problem.
Yeah, so in the meantime, is there anything that you want to go ahead and make sure that you plug so people can follow you in the meantime, or what do you want to do?
I've really got nothing to plug. Right now, I'm on sabbatical with all my stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to take it easy and just enjoy. Just come to these cons and, you know, meet amazing people. And, I do have one thing to blog.
Mm-hmm.
My selfie with strangers.
Oh, yes. Yes, that is. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah,
that is
Shannon
fantastic.
Shannon is actually in there because we weren't really friends.
We weren't friends, no. When you asked me for that photo.
So we did a selfie with strangers. And I think the most famous person I have there is Cato Kaelin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I grabbed him from Wizard World. But one of the things that the reasons I do Selfie with Strangers, I haven't really done that in a while, but check it out, though. It's everybody's important. When I go there, it's like, yes, Shannon's known in the community. And I, you know, if I meet, sure, I'll put them in there. But I also go to, like, if I go to Dairy Queen, the girls behind the counter, they're important.
Yes.
People at fast food, they're important. The police officers that are walking around the state fair, they're important. Everybody's really important. And I always have a conversation with the individuals because everybody has a story. Everyone. You know? And it's, I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. I don't know if they're going to be here tomorrow. But I take a picture of them, and I remember every single one. The first one that I've ever done, it's not a great selfie, but I was driving to Northwest Indiana for my niece's wedding and to go see Black Sabbath.
Okay.
And which was a great show, by the way. Saw it in Tinley Park, and so near Chicago.
Oh, yes.
But what happened was, driving down, lo and behold, a Winnebago pulled up. The driver was wearing a Hawaiian shirt, a sombrero straw hat, and had a lei around his neck. And his wife had a lei around her neck. And I said, holy crap, I need to take a picture of this.
Yes.
You know, and we took a picture in front of their Winnebago and everything. And they were out to go see Jimmy Buffett at Alpine Valley at the time. And see, this was like 3 or 4 years ago, and I still remember what show they're going to see.
Right.
And because that's how they struck me. And like I said, when I take a picture of somebody, I remember it. I remember, I don't ask names. There's no need to know their names.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to exchange names. It's just that, but we have that conversation, and everything starts with a conversation. You know, like how Shannon got into her career here, started with a conversation.
Right.
You know, same thing with, Taylor doing what he does. It all started with a conversation. And, I do things, and it starts with a conversation. And it's important to talk to people and meet new people, because you never know. Like I said, we can be here tomorrow, or the person you just talked to might be a senator,
Yeah.
10 years down the line. Now, everybody is important. So treat everybody important.
Selfie with strangers. We encourage you to go out there and make sure you check that as well. We make sure that you go out and you get Taylor's new book, and you can always check out his band, which is in the studio right now working on their new album. That's Trey Aaron. We'll make sure that we put the links up to all of this on our page. You can always be part of Be Our Geek. It's very easy to find us. You can email us at beourgeekshow@gmail.com. You can also find Be Our Geek on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We appreciate you being part of that. I hope everybody appreciates being here with us and being part of this community. We do appreciate Console Room. We hope that we get to come here for their next iteration in 2021 when they hit year 8, and we will see you out and about. And I thank you very much for being part of our show, and we appreciate you because everyone is a geek about something.